So my laboratory looked at how blood stem cells circulate, and basically we started out trying to answer the question, why does blood form inside of bones? And from there we found that they live up against the bone surfaces, and as a result of that, there are certain properties that are conferred upon the blood stem cells. And we then moved into the cancer realm because it looks like cancer cells seem to do the same thing that blood stem cells do. They leave the bone marrow, they go out into the blood, and then they come back. And that's very similar to what cancer cells do. And so what we did is draw parallels between the two systems. As a result of that, we found that tumor cells actually go to the same house that a blood stem cell will live in, take it over, and that's part of the problem. And so what we have reported here today is that that process not only puts those cells into a dormant state by going into the house of the stem cell, puts them into a dormant state and gives them the phenotype of a cancer stem cell.
Why does it make cancer cells become dormant just by going into the house of a stem cell?
That's the major job of that organ, of that house, is to put things asleep. Because if they were all dividing at once, it would be a big problem for the organism. So it's thought that this niche, if you will, is a organ that, for whatever reason, was devised to keep coordination amongst the entire organism, where we have these cells all over the body. And so you only need one or two to divide at a time. And so if you have, say, a finite number, if they're all dividing at once, that's called leukemia. So keeping them quiet is important. And most of the insults that occur to the stem cell compartment occur to proliferating cells. So you've got to keep them quiet if they're that valuable, so that they're not susceptible to chemotherapy or toxins or whatever.
So what makes cancer cells susceptible to being put in this sleep mode, into this dormancy state? Why don't ordinary cells that are circulating get put into that mode?
So the answer to that, I don't know. I think that for whatever reason, the signals that say come to this place are very attractive to tumor cells. Once they get in there, I think they're not thinking, but once they get in there, they're put to sleep. It's probably a area that has sleep signals, and there are also probably resources that they're able to harvest. So for whatever reason, it's a safe haven, but also it's a place where they find whatever they need to survive. And it's a survival of the fittest sort of thing.
So that's quite interesting. So either those cancer cells are picking up signals as they pass by these sleepy areas.
Exactly. So stem cells do the same thing. Part of the mechanisms have been worked out. One of the signals is a chemokine called stromal-derived factor 1 or SDF1. As stem cells pass by this SDF1-rich environment, they upregulate their receptors for different ligands. They lock on to these areas, and then they go to sleep. Tumor cells use the exact same mechanisms as far as we can tell. So for whatever reason, this is a very primitive system that is being co-opted or parasitized by the tumor cells.
Still makes me wonder why ordinary cells, it doesn't have that effect on them.
Okay, so they may not have the capacity to recognize those signals. They may go in there all the time. We just don't know. We don't have mechanisms to measure that sort of thing. They may go in and out. One of the things that our data shows is that these so-called mature cells, these mature cancer cells, are actually able to go backwards in time into a more stem-like state. There's this concept called IPS, induced pluripotency, where you take a series of genes, 4 or 5, you stick them into a cell that's mature, and you can drive it back to a stem-like state. I think this is one of the first examples of where a microenvironment can do it without doing it with genes. So we just happen to be lucky to find this in this system. So I think it's I think the pathways were always there. I think the other people that found those genes are activating systems that are already present, and cancer cells have the ability to take that over.
So maybe if we could find ways of allowing those niches to recognize cancer cells as being different from regular stem cells, you'd be onto some sort of treatment for dormancy.
So one of the approaches we've taken, which I didn't show here, is that when cells go into that environment, they sit there quiet. In the blood stem cell field, what they do today is about half, and my numbers are probably wrong, but probably about half of the bone marrow transplants are done by taking out the marrow from a patient and giving it to another patient. The other half are done by mobilizing with drugs the stem cells out of that niche and into the blood. The data that we have suggests you can do the exact same thing with tumor cells. Get them out. And once they get out, we believe they begin to proliferate. And all of our cancer drugs today target proliferating cells. So getting them out in combination with a chemotherapy may be an effective therapy combination. The data we have suggests that that may be possible. And so we're going back and validating that in a slightly different system before we start thinking about putting it into humans. But we've got plans to do that if that works.
Because it'd be a bit scary, wouldn't it, taking cells that are dormant and stay dormant for decades and putting them back in the bloodstream.
Exactly. So fortunately, in the mice that we've done this with, limited study, we don't see any progression as a result of it. So just mobilizing by itself doesn't seem to make it worse, fortunately. So a very limited study needs to be validated further. But yeah, it could be a really scary sort of thing. But if I'm the guy who has that tumor, I'd like to maybe try that, knowing that these ticking time bombs are going to be there for the rest of my life. I'd love to see it. I'd like to see these cells out of my marrow.
So. Well, very interesting work. And have you enjoyed the conference?
So I thought it was a fantastic piece of work for two reasons. One is I realized now the complexity of the field, which I hadn't really appreciated before. And number two, I got to see somebody else function from a totally different field looking in my house and seeing what's going on and what's interesting to them. So I thought it was really fun.
Any collaborations that you can envisage?
So at least two. One is we're starting to talk to Christoph by email, and we're going to exchange some protocols. Colm Morrissey, I'm going to give a talk now at his institute as a result of this meeting. So that's a start. So.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was fun.